Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group fourth quarter and full year 2012 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, March 20th, 2013. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products, and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Shachar Florence, Strauss Group CFO, and Ms. Talia Cesler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Florence, please go ahead.
Good afternoon and good morning to everybody. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. First of all, I want to convey Gadi's apologies. Gadi, the CEO of Strauss Group, he had to go for a private issue that he could not postpone. With that, I want to start reviewing the Strauss outcome of the operation for the fourth quarter and the year of 2012. Let me start with stating that this was a record high year and a quarter for both sales and managerial EBIT numbers. We had a nice growth all over our businesses, and we managed to improve our gross margins and EBIT profit almost in all the companies and categories. We also finished the year with a strong cash flow that was a reflection of previous year increase in commodities prices that forced us, even though we kept the same quantities of products, to put more money on the shelf rather than in the bank. This year when the commodities went back down, we managed to get the money back, and we finished the year with a very strong cash flow and reduction in the financial debt. With that, if we'll take a look into the different businesses of Strauss Group, and I'll start with the coffee business, which had a very, very strong year both on sales and in profit. Let me start with talking about Russia. We continued the implementation of the vertical consolidation between the new factory that we bought in Germany for freeze-dried company and the business in Russia. That enable us not only to improve our margins, but to compete better with giants like Nestlé and Kraft, which are the leading companies in the world in instant coffee, holding about 80% of the global market, but less percentages in Russia due to our business there and of course in Israel, that they hold less than 50% of the market. We built a new RNG factory in Russia in the area that we bought one year ago from Lecafé, and we later on finished the acquisition of the other half of the Lecafé business with about $13 million investment. In Brazil, we kept focusing on the margins, and we kept taking market share. We are the leading coffee company in Brazil with about 21% market share versus Douwe Egberg with 20%. The market in Brazil is still going through consolidation. The next competitor has between 7%-9%, and then there are many others with frictions of percentages, and most of them are not country or continent-wide coverage. We expect this process to continue in the coming years and to enable us, first of all, to take market share, but not less important, to improve the margins. On the other hand, this year we reduced our activities in green coffee export. This is the only activity in the whole Strauss Group that it's not branded, and it's a commodity activity that we can go in and out according to the market condition. And this year we scaled down the this operation due to the market condition. In Israel, we launched single-serve capsules. This is the first launch of single portion in the Israeli market. If you know, or if you remember, we used to represent Levata in Eastern Europe, and nowadays, after the patent that they had expired, we sell our own capsules that can be used in Levata's machine that are in use, that we sold to our customers, mainly in away from home market, and we still serve them both with single portion, but also other coffee forms as our customers. In Israel, the main target is the residential market and not the the away from home. The capsule can be found or can be bought in most of the retail retail chains in Israel. Looking on the Israeli market and Strauss Israel in slide number four, I'll start from the bottom of the slide. The Israeli market grew only 1.5% this year. It's about the population growth, not more than that. But with this market, we managed to keep our market share with almost 12%, and we launched many new products, and we took lots of innovative activities in order to, first of all, keep the margins, though some of the production cost went up, like energy, like taxes, municipal taxes, and so on. We amended the agreement with Danone, and the cooperation between the two companies that are going on for the last 25 years will be enhanced. On the other hand, the joint company, the dairy company, will be paying also more for the services that are given by Strauss Group. So on one hand, you will see in the EBIT a small reduction. It was 5 million shekels for the whole year. All of them were booked in Q4 where the when the agreement was amended. But on the other hand, later on, I'll walk you through, and you'll see an increase on one hand of the fun and indulgent outcomes, because some of the joint services will be financed more by the health and wellness division, but not less important, by a reduction of the minority share. And this is the non-part in the new agreement, both with them, but also with the Strauss Group for the services that we provide to the dairy company. not less important, we kept the enormous investment and effort in the efficiency measures that that we are taking, and we managed to reduce the and to make our to reduce our costs and to make them more efficient. In the fourth quarter, the milk prices in Israel was increased by almost 10%. We waited for about 1 month, 1.5 months, for the government to change the product that under price supervision, By the way, we don't have almost any fractions of percentage of our turnover is generated by such products. But in order to make the increase together with the supervised product, we waited after 1.5 months where the government did not increase the supervised product prices. We increased our prices in order to accommodate the price increase of the raw material. So this is the Israeli market. If we're looking at the international distance spreads that together with the international coffee or the coffee businesses outside of Israel is responsible for most of the growth and the improvement in the profit. So we'll start with Sabra, about 30% year-over-year top line growth with a very nice growth in the hummus activities in the U.S. And not less important, we finished the relocation to the new factory. And as we promised to the market at the beginning of the year, we finished the year with double-digit margin, 12.8%. And this was done, though the businesses that are non-hummus, mainly guacamole, salsa, and dairy dips are growing, and their margins are a little bit less than the hummus market. So you can understand that hummus only has even better margins than 12.8%. On the other hand, we keep invest in the Obela business, which is the dips and spreads activity outside of the U.S. Currently, we are in Mexico and in Australia. In Mexico, this is a purely green startup activities. And we are in a journey of educating the market. We are using, as you know, the previous factory that was relocated from Astoria, New York, that was used by Sabra to Mexico. And this is a greenfield operation that will take time until we'll be able to educate the market. In Australia, we took a different direction. We bought a small brand called Red Rock Deli on one hand, and on the other hand, we bought the factory from the private label manufacturer that produced the dips and spreads for the Red Rock Deli before we bought it. So we bought the factory, and we are shipping these days new equipment that will enable us to manufacture hummus. So right now, all the sales of Obela in Australia do not include hummus, but towards the second half of 2013, we will launch the hummus, which for us provide better margins and edge for the market, because in the Australian market, the hummus is known and people are familiar with the product, and we can bring our edge and our technology and better products to the market. Charles Water. Charles Water Israel had a very nice year in Israel, though the competitive dynamic in Israel is very fierce. Not only with the direct competitors, with water dispensers and the water filterization machine, but mainly with the mineral water market, both in the bottle format and in the big container format. This is still both of them together responsible for about one-third of the Israeli market, water market. We hold about another one-third, and regular tap water are the last or the third part of the market. So you can understand that this is our real source of revenue. And and we keep taking market share. If you followed the other traded company in Israel, nowadays it's no longer traded, but Neviot, you could follow the reduction in their business. We assume, though there is no very accurate measurement to this market, our estimation is that we keep taking market share for those businesses. On the other hand, we keep invested in the new territories, China and the U.K., even in a higher amount than last year. We estimate that this year was the peak of the investment per quarter or per year. From now on, the investment will be smaller in the next year. Together, Obela, with about 20 million shekels investment, all going through the P&L directly to the bottom line because we do not create tax assets for the losses. A couple of tens of millions ILS investment in the international water activities. We invest in the growth engines. As you see this year, we see the fruits of previous investment both in coffee and in Sabra, and our aim is to generate the next engines for the coming years. Looking on the group perspective, we sold a real estate asset during 2012 for about 150 million shekels and 90 million shekels profit. The other part of the same real estate asset was sold during Q1 and will create in the first quarter another 18 million shekels profit. We pay dividend of 140 million shekel, which is 1.32 shekel per share. In a process that started toward the end of 2012 and was concluded at the beginning of 2013, we recycled 250 million shekels of debt that we raised in an interest of a fixed rate interest 4.5% that represented at that time 0.0% spread over the governmental bonds for 7 years. Here I wanted to thank the market for the trust that it put on us. This is one of the lowest interest that is paid by a company in the Israeli market. Looking on slide number 7, here you can see the numbers both for the 12 months and in the next slide for the last quarter. You can see that we ended the year with 6.3% growth and improvement of 6% in the gross profit with the same profitability, an increase of 9% of the EBIT numbers. The net profit was almost par versus last year, mainly by higher finance expenses, and we'll talk about finance expenses later on, and tax expenses because all of our mature companies made a higher profit in 2012 and thus paid more taxes. The losing businesses, Water International and Obela, could not be offset versus those profits. As I said before, we do not create tax assets for those losses. This is the difference between the growth in the operating profit and the par with the net profit. In the same slide, you can see the strong operating cash flow is more than 660 million shekels versus almost 300 in the previous year. Looking on Q4, which represents almost the same numbers, I want to highlight here the operating profit accounting. Here, most of the differences versus the non-GAAP actually start at the gross profit, I urge you to take a look into our MD&As. The difference comes from the hedging activities that we are doing for commodities that in an economic sense should be looked as it is in the non-GAAP. We neutralize the fluctuation of the commodities and taking into consideration the hedge activities. If you want to look on the direction, I urge you to look on the yearly numbers, which represent better and the fact that the EBIT profit was more than 15% higher than previous year. Though the last quarter was -18% means that Q4 one to three, sorry, was very high. Actually these are shifts between quarter that should be ignored, and this is the reason we urge all of you to look at our businesses the way we look at it with the non-GAAP. Just to remind you, the only thing that we neutralize is those commodity hedge, which is the timing differences, and non-cash compensation and capital gains. Again, this quarter and this year, we had a huge capital gain, which again, for looking on the business on the long run, we neutralize, and this is the reason we urge all of you to look at the non-GAAP numbers. In the next slide number nine, you see a wider look on the sales trend. As I said before, this is a record high year for us. We crossed the 8 billion shekels sales with 6.3% growth. The same goes for the fourth quarter in slide number 10, with 1.6% growth, record high sales numbers. In slide number 11, you can see that the growth came from all of our companies, with the highest contribution in absolute numbers for the international coffee business, the coffee activities outside of Israel with 226 million shekels. On the other hand, Sabra with more than 115 million shekels contribution, but almost 30% growth, and it goes on for the rest of the businesses. Looking on the categories, you can see the strongest category as far as percentage growth with fresh dips and spreads, which includes Sabra or Obela and the dips and spreads activities in Israel, on one hand. The coffee activities, excluding the green coffee, which is, I said at the beginning of the presentation, this year we took a decision to reduce a bit or to scale down the activity, salty snacks and so on. At the others under health and wellness, mainly by the way, a very small category of olive oil and honey, with a small reduction. Max Brenner, all of the reduction is due to the move to a franchise operation of the branches in Israel. If we compared same-store sales or apples to apples, ignoring the franchisee of the Israeli activity, Max Brenner grew almost 8% year-over-year in total footprint sales. On the green coffee activities, I already spoke. Same data, but looking from the geography perspective, again, you can see that all of the geographies grew, and even Serbia activity shown here as ex-Yugoslavia. These are the shekels outcome, which yes, is 9.5% reduction, but on the other hand, you can see in the MD&A local currency, Serbia grew. Small growth, but a growth. It's not a secret, the economy situation in Serbia is not too good, and the devaluation in the currency influenced also the ability of the consumer to buy imported product. Coffee, though the factory is in Serbia, but coffee itself is being imported, and it's becoming more expensive for the people. In slide number four, you can see again a wider perspective, 2008 to 2012, of a journey that we are taking. We invest a lot in activities outside of Israel. We talked before on water on Obela, but during the years, we invested also in coffee and Sabra and other initiatives. You can see that this is the first year that on a yearly pace, more than 50% of our sales come from outside of Israel, and it gives us the comfort that we are spread among many economies. We are operating in emerging countries as well as mature economies, and it gives us the stability and reduce our risks. This is the first year that more than half of our turnover comes from outside of Israel. In slide number 15 and a few slides after, you can see a few examples of the innovation product and the innovation that we've made and the product that we launched. This is the way that companies like ourselves can keep the margins and take market share. Here in this slide, you can see the single portion in Israel, the Danacol from health and wellness, the grab-and-go salsa from Sabra. On the top, you can see the Carrier, which is a tortilla from Pepsi together with the salsa from Sabra. We have similar product with hummus and pretzels and other grab-and-go product. Next slide, you can see some products from the Israeli market, from the dairy, chocolate, snacks, cut vegetables, and olive oil. In slide number 15, this is an example of how can we improve margins in Brazil and take market share, because it's not only about roast and ground. Here you can see all kinds of coffee-based products such as cappuccino, espresso, filtered coffee, and other products. On top of it, on the right bottom corner, you can see Frisco, which is a powder juice product that we launched with very nice margin that we use in order to leverage our large-scale distribution system that we have in Brazil. With adding more product on the same machine, we can improve our margins. Looking at the same data for the last quarter, the fourth quarter, you can see in slide number 12 that the picture is very similar. Growth in almost all of the categories, Max Burner, as I said before, because we moved to a operation by franchisee in Israel only in the fourth quarter, you can see the reduction in Max Burner and green coffee. As I said, this is a decision that we took this quarter to scale down the activities. In slide number nine, you see another look on the composition of the profit. You can see the nice spread of the profit between the different businesses, between coffee, Israel, and the other segments of mainly the fresh dips and spreads and water Israel. Of course, in this category, you don't see it, but you know it exists. We have losses that we bear, as I said, in Obela and international water. In the next slide, you can see the huge improvement in coffee margins in the last quarter. By the way, you can look at it also on the yearly numbers. We said before, when the commodities goes up sharply and in a very fast manner, the margins are going down a little bit. When it goes down sharply, and the emphasis here is on sharply, margins are opened again. We told you the same story when our margins were low, around the 6% EBIT, 6.5% EBIT margins last year. I hope that you believed us then, and you can see the outcome right now when we crossed more than 8%, almost 8.5% EBIT margins this year. Looking again on the wider perspective in slide number 21, you can see why I said this is a record high year in profit. Though the profitability is a little bit lower than in previous years, mainly by the investment that we are doing through the P&L, but not less important by the growth for the activities outside of Israel, mainly coffee that is in lower margin percentages. On the other hand, of course, we have Sabra that offsets this phenomena a little bit, which operates in higher margins environment. You can see in the next slide also the quarterly picture. In slide number three, this is where I want to show you the part of the influence of the 5 million shekels reduction in the Israeli EBIT. By the way, Israel finished the year with the same EBIT as last year, other than those 5 million shekels, all of them were booked in the fourth quarter. All the influence is under the health and wellness activity. And here you can see a very, very nice growth on the other side of the fun and indulgence. And in the next slide, I'll talk about the minority part. Bottom line, there is no influence on Israel net profit. Sorry. I'll move to slide number 25. This is the bridge of the net income. On one hand, an improvement in the EBIT. On the other hand, increase in the finance expenses and the tax that I explained. But here I want to look on the 8 million shekels change in the minority, and this is the influence that I told you that mainly was generated by the new Danone agreement. With your permission on the finance expenses, I'll talk in few minutes. With your permission, I want to move to slide number 31 and later to 32. You can see in our balance sheet that we reduced a little bit the financial debt. But if you look on slide number net financial debt, sorry, if you look on slide number 32, this is a reflection of our decision about year and a half ago that we took about a year and a half ago to increase our cushion and put more cash on the balance sheet just in case that the market will suffer from liquidity squeeze. And this is the reason from a situation that about 2.5 years ago, the company didn't have almost no cash on the balance sheet other than the cash that was used into ongoing operation. We decided to put a lot of cash on the balance sheet. And there is a price for it. The price is about 3% spread, not between deposit and borrowing rates, but we borrow for long term and we deposit for short term, and this spread is about 3%. Nowadays, we feel much more comfortable with the financial market and the ability to recycle loans. And we will reduce this cushion during the year and a half. It will take us time to reduce it. And with that, of course, we'll reduce the financial expenses that we pay. So with that, I want to finish my presentation and hand it over to you, and we will be more than happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Leah Glazer of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hello. I was wondering, in the coffee business, what are the main trends that you see for 2013 in the main countries that you're active at?
Let me just make sure that I understood. You're talking about the direction of the market and our directions in the market, or?
Both, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's review it country by country. Let's start with with Brazil. The consolidation in the Brazilian market is happening, both in the retail market, where the big international chains are coming to Brazil, and though they're right now still the a part of the organized trade is relatively small in Brazil, but it's getting bigger. This is one side. And on the other hand, the Brazilian market that consists of thousands of producers a few years ago, and nowadays there are around 150 companies in the market. Some of them are active only in one city or two. Just by mentioning that we and Dow Edberg have 40%, 42, 41% of the market. The next one, Melitta, was about 9, 7% of the market, and the rest are much smaller. And this is a very unique situation. In other countries, you usually find the two, maybe three leaders of the market holding 50% to 70% of the market. And we estimate that the Brazilian market is going there. And while going there, it will enable us to improve the margins first by scale, second by the ability to invest in branding and the willingness of the market to pay for better product and more branded product. And the market is slowly but very consistently is going in this direction. So this is the Brazilian market. You know, to the other direction, Brazil right now going through wages inflation, and wages were increased relatively in a high manner. But on the other hand, we invest a lot in automation, and by that reducing our costs and make it more efficient. So this is the Brazilian market. Second is the Russian market that, as you know, is mainly consists of instant coffee. Only 15% of the market is roast and ground, and therefore this is a much higher margin market, much higher than the average margins that we have in the coffee companies. This is always when people ask me about, you know, will you improve the margins percentage-wise? I say that this is a race between Brazil and Russia. The faster Brazil will grow, the average profitability will go down. Of course, the profit will go up. The faster Russia will grow, the higher the margins will be. Russia right now is almost half of Brazil in turnover numbers, and you can understand that the contribution to the profit is per shekel of revenue is higher. So the Russian market is in a very good shape right now. I don't want to, you know, to be an analyst for the Russian market, but the economy right now is in a very good situation. Our situation in the competitive dynamic is good. We keep growing. We keep penetrating into areas in Russia that we previously didn't sell. And just for your information, we are not selling all across Russia. Russia is a continent, and right now we don't have enough scale to penetrate all the provinces. But the larger we are, the more scale we have in order to go into those areas. So we estimate, that will keep growing at the same pace in Russia. By the way, in Russia, if you noticed, we do not provide market shares, not because we don't want, because we don't think that there is an accurate measurement for the Russian market. It's also for our internal usage. We couldn't find the right measurement. Nielsen, for example, there we consider for the coffee company not accurate enough. If you're looking on the Eastern European market, not that all of the economies there are in the same situation. Poland and Romania improved a lot, mainly Poland, and you can see the growth in the MD&A. Poland right now, let's say, relatively in a good shape. On the other side of the scale, I talked already about Serbia, and Romania is somewhere in the middle. Both of them under a lot of pressure from, you know, in the whole country economy, and we do not expect it to be improved next year. Last but not least, the coffee in Israel, we grew. We grew 5% mainly by quantity or more sales in ton. We didn't increase prices in the Israeli market. We launched the new capsules. All in all, for the coffee company, we expect keep growing and keep improving profits next year.
Thank you. Additional questions. We saw low growth of the food market in Israel in the last year in 2012, and this was after the social protest in 2011. What do you believe will characterize the food industry here in 2013?
Yeah, the Israeli market as a whole almost did not raise prices during the year. I said that we raised prices towards the end of the year. Some others did as well, but generally speaking, all of the growth was quantity. But as I said, it's almost the same as the population growth. We expect the Israeli market to behave the same, growing, let's say, population, the same as the population growth, but maybe a little bit more. 2.something percent. But on the other hand, we expect ourselves to grow faster than the market. This is always the the target. But if you ask me about the market, our estimation is around 2% growth in the Israeli food market.
Okay, thank you very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
David, and we.
Hi, sorry, I think I was on mute. Good afternoon. Just a follow-up question with regard to the coffee business. I was wondering, would there be a point focusing on Latin America and Russia, which have shown a very, very strong growth lately, as opposed to the slower growing markets such as Poland or Romania? Would that be something the company would be looking at?
Hi, good afternoon, Tavi. Thank you for the question. For us, it's not either or. Now I'm talking about the coffee activities. As you know, both of the activities are profitable, so it's not a matter of investment. And we'll do whatever is needed in order to keep growing. In both market, yes, for sure, we expect the Brazilian market to grow faster than the Eastern European market. This is not only about us; this is about the economy. But it's not a matter of emphasize. We have management teams in each of the countries and the management of the coffee company and of the group will do whatever is needed in order to grow both of them. If you're asking about other activities, we do not intend to penetrate new countries, neither in the Water International nor in the dips and spreads activity this year in 2013. And thus, though sometimes it looks like a very temptive opportunity in South America, especially where we already have activities there in other segments, in 2013, we will not make any other activities other than coffee in Brazil.
Okay, understood. And then just the last question. In Israel, you mentioned the launch of a new capsule product that's actually compatible with different machines. Just to clarify, would that be compatible with the Nespresso machines that are designed by Nestlé, or would that be by more standard machines like Lavazza, for example?
In Israel, we launched capsules that are compatible for the Nespresso machine, which is a trademark of Nespresso and Nestlé. The business of the capsule is razors and blades, and we are familiar with this business model very well with the water business that we have. Most of those businesses, the profits come from the consumables. So in coffee, it's the capsules. In Israel, the largest machine park in the residential market is Nespresso, and this is the reason we launched the Nespresso compatible capsules. And we see good results other than in Shufersal and Mega, that both of them tried to launch their own machines. All other retail chains are selling our capsules, and this is a very profitable segment of the coffee market. In Eastern Europe, we had sold in the past Lavazza's machine and also the Lavazza capsules. And if you look on the 2010 financial report, one of the reasons that the profit of the coffee company was eroded is because we stopped doing it. We decided to invest in our own brand, and we provide under our own brand, the same as the capsule in Israel that are sold under Elite brand. In Romania and Ukraine, we are selling under the Don Cafe brand capsules that can be used in the Lavazza machine. But there, it's away from a home business. It's our customers, restaurants, cafes, and so on, that we provide not only capsules, but also other forms of coffee, and we keep providing them with the capsules that they can operate their business, and it's our profit. Both of the business models could be operated from 2010, and nowadays in Israel from this year is because the patents on those machines was expired. Not machines, sorry, the capsules was expired, and other companies can sell compatible capsules.
Understood. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5942. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5942. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Florence, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, a very short one. Just to repeat what I said at the beginning, this is a record high year and quarter for Strauss Group. We managed to improve our performance end to end at the same time that we keep investing a large amounts in the growth business of water and salad. We see the outcomes of previous year investments in the dips and spreads in coffee. Outside of Israel, we managed to cross the 50% operation outside of Israel. We will keep doing it in the future, and at the same time trying to reduce the financial expenses that were relatively high this quarter and this year. I want to thank you again taking the time being with us and say just a happy Passover, and we'll see you in the next quarter event. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group fourth quarter and full year 2012 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.